Church. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad that you have joined us today. Here are just a few things we have coming up at Only Believe.
If you got problems today, you're at the right place. We all got problems.
If you stay with what God said,
God is on your side. God is for you. Who can be against you?
This Bible ain't got no side effects and it got no expiration date.
The Word of God is the most powerful thing that exists.
Your circumstances do not define you.
Hey, church family, Pastor Tim here. Just a reminder that Serve Day projects, we still need volunteers for them. So if you haven't signed up yet and you still want to, you can. Here's how you can do it. The QR code on the screen, you can go to the Welcome Center in the lobby and ask them what projects we got going on during Serve Day or through our website. Again, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me here at the church. Everyone can make a difference. Let's make a difference together.
Prayer has the power to totally transform our lives, and we believe it. That is why we gather for prayer on the first Saturday and the third Thursday of each month. First Saturday prayer is where we get to come and gather together, pray corporately and personally, hear an encouraging word, and worship together. And it also gives us the opportunity to head down to the altar and pick up a prayer card so that we can stand in the gap for our church family. Thursday prayer is a one-hour prayer gathering in the youth sanctuary from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Come expectant for miracles and all that God will do in our lives. We cannot wait to pray with you.
And that should about do it. Yikes, that was a happy little accident. Hey, church family, Pastor Jared here. I'm just brushing up on my art skills. This reminds me of our vacation Bible school that we're coming up here in June. This year's theme is called Masterpiece, and it's an art-themed vacation Bible school. As you can see, I am no master artist, but we will be teaching the kids about who the master artist is, and that is Jesus. Now, he is their creator, and he defines who they are, and they are made for good works in him. It's going to be an exciting time that we want to invite you out to the week of Pentecost, Sunday, June 7th, through Wednesday, June the 10th. During each service, we'll have tons of fun, lots of prizes, games, activities, and just powerful services, times in God's presence, great lessons. It'll be a great time for boys and girls ages 3 all the way up through 4th grade. We invite you to come join us, and maybe you can become master artists.
Hey, gentlemen, Pastor Tim here. I want to invite you to our next Brotherhood Breakfast happening on May 30th. This is a time where we just get together as guys, we talk about following Jesus, we encourage one another, and we eat some pretty good food, if I can be honest with you. So that's happening May 30th, but if you'd like more encouragement fellowship than just once every couple months, we have Brotherhood Locals. They happen in some of our closest communities. There's probably one in your community. If there's not, we'd love to get one started there. But that's just an added bonus that you can meet with these guys on a monthly basis to just encourage one another in our following of Jesus. If you'd like any information about our Brotherhood stuff, reach out to myself or Andrew Rogers. Hope to see you at the Brotherhood.
And as always, if you have any questions or want any more information about events going on here at Only Believe, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby, and our team will do the best they can to help you out there. Now, let's prepare our hearts and minds as we dive into God's Word today.
Good morning, Only Believe Church. Amen. Someone say amen. All right. Happy Memorial Day weekend. I know some of you are really excited about tomorrow. You get the day off. Yes. Is that good? Yeah. I'm excited about the day off, but I want to just put out there that, you know, Pastor Randy had a honey to-do list, and I think he turned Memorial Day into Labor Day weekend for all of us at our house, just so you know. My hands are worked to the bone. My knees hurt. My shoulders hurt. My back hurts. I feel like I need stretched into a younger woman. Amen? but there's a lot that we got done. Amen. If you're a visitor in the house, my name's Pastor Nicole, and I pastor here as a senior pastor along with my husband, Randy, and that's who I'm making fun of right now, but he has definitely got a honey to-do list around that house, and we worked hard at it. But if you are a visitor, thank you. Thank you for coming to our church today. We're glad that you're here. You could have chose any church, but you chose ours, and that means a lot to us, and I know that God's going to do something for you in return. Amen? Let's pray before we get started. Lord, we just come before you today in the name of Jesus. And Father, firstly, I just submit my heart and my mind to you. Father, asking that you would work through me, Father, that you would pour your spirit out upon me and through me to your congregation today. Father, that we would learn of the word together. Father, that our ears would be open, that our eyes that have been blinded to our own ways, Father, would begin to see in the name of Jesus. Father, begin to right wrongs that the world has taught us. Let the things that are wrong in your eyes be wrong in ours. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. All right, today we are going to keep step with the Ezra series that we've been teaching on, Rebuild and Restore. And for those of you that may be joining us today for the first time, I'm going to do a real quick catch up. It's not going to be real deep, but if you want to know more, you should go back on last week's. That'll give you a little bit more in the week before that when Pastor Randy started the series. But Ezra is a book in the Bible in a synopsis that is about hope. Hope for the Christian who has fallen away a little bit, began to compromise, or began to even blend in with the world that is around us. Or the culture that's around us. In the Bible, it was pagan practices. Not only was there was a rebuilding of the temple in Ezra's day, there was also something that was more important to Ezra than just a physical building where the presence of God resided. But there was a rebuilding within the heart of people that had to take place. Ezra had realized that the hearts of the people or the children of God had drifted far from the mark of holiness that he had called them to. And because of this, they began to take on foreign wives. And they began to marry in other tribes. We learned last week, this is not a racial issue. It was not about race at all. It was about a idolatry from another nation worshiping differently than the children of God were to worship and the way they were to bring sacrifices to God. But it went a step further. After the repentance, because Ezra challenged them and told them, put away your wives, put away even the children that you have birthed with these women. It was a very grueling task for these families. Can you imagine? What you knew to love and behold was torn away. And it was either God or your own desire. Often we're in the same situation. I remind us as believers today, obedience is better than sacrifice. What does that mean? To obey. Had the Israelites just obeyed, they would have never had to go through a divorce and put the women and the children out. And lost their families, became dysfunctional, had all the hurt and the grief in our life. Sin always brings a hurt and a grief that's attached to it more than you want to pay. It keeps you in the situation longer than you want to stay. That's what sin does. It draws you in and draws you away from God. The Israelites had done just that. But Ezra came with something more. And he said, now him and Nehemiah, which is the book after Ezra, but they're still, they used to be one book. They're now separate. But he said, we've got to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. It's not good enough that we've just repented. Now we have to put up a barrier of protection. Protection what? Protection from the world. It was a sign to tell the world to stay out of God's people. We weren't going to idolatry anymore. We weren't going to intermingle. We weren't going to blend in with the world. They were going to be set apart like God had called them to be. But today, I really felt that we should not leave the repentance any earlier than necessary. So we're going to touch on some other things. And I say this because there's some mature Christians in here that might think that what we're talking about today is very tiny. And, oh, I already know that, Pastor Nicole. But listen, While standing down in the worship service today, I saw a field with green corn, and I saw these brown tassels come up on the corn. But a strong wind came, and when the wind came, the tassels blew over, not the stalks, the tassels blew over, but all of a sudden, they started going this way, then this way, then this way, then this way. They weren't given to one way of wind. And I leaned over to Randy and I said, Rand, I think God is telling me that the church is giving way to every wind of false doctrine. Now, let me tell you this. You may think that the message is for the immature, but God said these stalks were this tall with a tassel on top. And I turned right around to a farmer. I said, Jim, tell me what these tassels mean. He said, it's a point of maturity in the corn. Now, I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be a wave of false doctrine in the sense of, well, we don't believe in the Holy Spirit. We don't do this. We don't do that. I'm talking about the way that we live our lives. You have begun to hear a falseness that the way you are living is perfectly okay with God. And I'm here to remind you by reading the scripture today that he's saying by his word and by his design, this is the truth and this is what is his doctrine. And we're not going to be giving ourselves way to any wind of false doctrine. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Church, we will be that church that is holy and separate from all the rest. When everyone else says, no, this is the way the world is going, we will be the ones to step outside and say, oh no, we've rebuilt our walls of protection. And that doesn't mean that we isolate ourselves from the world. It means that when we go into the world is influenced by our doctrine. The world is influenced by our holiness. The world is influenced by our sanctification. And we are not the ones that are giving up the salt. We are the salt of the world. We are the preservation until he comes. But without holiness as our factor, where's the salt? Has she lost her savor? Where are we, church? Have we just began to become idolaters? Well, that's my whole first page gone. I don't even know that wasn't in there, so we ain't got time for more. Let's just start in Ephesians 4. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for correcting us. I was going to start in Ephesians 4:21, but for my girl back at the computer, we're going to go back to where God said what he said in the service today, and we're going to back it up a little bit to verse 14. It says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Amen. All right, now we're going to go down to verse 21, because I think I did the pre-message on that one. Here's what the word would say to us today. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, someone say instead. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. And put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Now let me just look at some of us and say that he said to throw off. He didn't say to nicely take your time and sit down the things of your flesh. He didn't say when you think the time is right to sit down, then you can put it off. Not when the pastor reads that scripture, then you put it off. He said, throw it off. Throw it off quickly. You don't take a ball and throw it. It's not even called a throw. It's called a toss. He said, throw it off. quickly. And instead, someone say instead. Let the Spirit lead. Let. Guess what that means? You've got to allow Him. You've got to prioritize it. You've got to listen to it. You've got to surrender to it. You can't just expect that your flesh is going to want to fall in line with the Scripture, because I'm going to tell you, it don't. Yesterday, I had a load of thoughts running through my mind that I wanted to say to Randy as that honey-do list happened, but I did not let it spew out of my mouth. Just let me tell you, we have different ways of doing things. Different ways. And He wanted me to do it the way He wanted, and I wanted to do it my way. I'm like, could you just leave this side of the garage and go over to yours? Because you're frustrating me right now. But I needed Him to handle the heavy stuff. See, so I had an agenda, and He came with His own agenda. His was to power wash the driveway. Mine was to clean the garage. The point is, my flesh started to get frustrated because it wasn't going the way I wanted my labor day to go. And He was frustrated that it wasn't going the way He wanted it to go. But you know what? Miraculously enough, the Spirit of Unity came in. He began to work with me. I began to work with Him. And before we knew it, I gave up at 8 o'clock. He kept going. It was an amazing day. We got it all accomplished. Someone can say something for the Spirit of Unity. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. But there were things in that day that I didn't enjoy. There were things I didn't want to live by that the Spirit said, let me lead. Let me do it. And I know that sounds really simple, but for some of you marriages, if we would just shut our mouths and let our Spirit lead, and not our mind and not our hearts and not, well, you don't know what He said to me. And I do this all the time and He never does. So who cares? Who cares? One of these times it's going to be the opposite. And if it never is, then we come to serve one another. I'd love to tell you that marriage is 50-50. It is not. 9 times out of 10, it's 100, nothing. And you might get fortunate if the other one gives you 100 and you get nothing. And that's okay, because I love what I married and I would choose him all over again. I don't die to my flesh or die to my husband daily because I want to. I do it because God asked me to. That's what makes marriage good. Amen. So throw off that nature and let God. And when you do, it puts on the new nature. See, if you believe in Christ, then you have faith in him. If you have faith in him, then you have faith in the power of the resurrection. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that raises you from your old, ugly, sinful self and brings you into the new creation that God's created you to be. So you have everything you need to transform. But your will must submit to the transforming. And there's some days I'm willing, and there's other days that I am weak. And don't look at me like you're Mr. and Mrs. Perfect, because I know that's not the truth. Some days my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. But the more surrendered I am to him, the better it gets. Romans 5:1 says that we've been justified through our faith, and now because of that justification through Christ Jesus, now I can be in right relationship with God because of what Christ did for me, not because of what I did on my own. So let's go on to verse 25, same chapter in Ephesians. It says, I love this version, so stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Now listen, this does not mean what you think. This does not mean that you get to go to your neighbor and tell him you hate the way he does his bushes, or that you hate the political representation of who he's voting for in his front yard, because you don't know the truth, and I'm not lying to him. I'm going to tell him exactly what I think about his political sign. That is not what this is talking about. This is a brother in Christ, first of all. And it's not talking about when someone says, oh, do you like my new outfit? No, I hate it. That's terrible. That's not what it means. It means tell the truth when we're speaking to one another. Quit lying about situations. Quit lying about your life. Quit inflating the truth. Quit being a gossiper. Quit slandering. Do you know what slander is? Lying about somebody. He's telling us, quit it. And start telling the truth as you live amongst each other. Quit trying to paint your life as rosy when really it's going up in smoke. Amen. I had a young man tell me the other week. He said, Pastor Nicole, I ask everybody on Sunday morning, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? They said, oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. He said, but I went a step further. He said, I said, no, how are you really doing? Mind blown. That someone would care in church to go beneath the surface of what your Sunday face and outfit looks like. That they would go beyond the care of someone that just saying, I want you to feel like I care. I want you to know that I care. I want you to know that you can count on me. And that when your load is too heavy to bear, I'm the guy that you want to call on to help you bear it. Because I really care. Let's go on. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, there's that word. Instead, use your hands for good work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Whew. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Let's just talk about abusive language for a minute. Let's go here. I figured after last week, you were probably already mad anyway, so if you came back this Sunday, it'd be a good day. Why is it that in this world of Christendom today that we find it so necessary to get so close to the edge of the world that we have to sound like them? Come on. That we have to look like them? That we have to listen to the music they listen to? That we have to, you know, whatever you want to look at. If they're doing it, we've got to do it and buy in. Why is it that they have a language of cursing, but we have a language of slang? Oh yeah, I'm going to go here. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I can say something today. I'm only going to spell the word, but I'm going to say the slang word because I had to repent. The other day, my hands were loaded full. Loaded full. And I'm trying to come in and I had, oh, my mom got me this beautiful little Stanley cup and it's so pretty, but it's got this little jewel on the top and I really like it. And it does make me want to drink water, although I don't clear it often like I should, but it makes me think like I'm doing the right thing by drinking all this water. And my arms were full and I had it on my pinky just like this. And I dropped it, and then my Bible and all the books that I had stacked up, because I don't carry a bag, because I forget to carry the bag to work. I'd rather carry the book and then get all my pages ruffled. All fell on the ground, and I said, dang it. And the Lord said, why didn't you say the real word? I said, because I didn't mean that. He said, oh, but you were angry and frustrated. I hadn't wrote the message on Tuesday. It hadn't come until Wednesday that I started really thinking about where God was going to take this message. And he was calling me into check because the world would say D-A-M-N, it. And all I did was say, I'm not saying it again. I already told you what the word is. But I was angry. I was angry and frustrated at myself partially because I carried my arms too full. I should have been willing to make the two trips. As my mom says, lazy people always have to work the hardest. So here I am working harder than I ought, and I'm slanging. Now I know all of you are looking at me like, oh my gosh, my perfect pastor. I am not perfect. And don't act like you are either, because I know you're not. And for those of you that have slang totally worked out of your vernacular or vocabulary, good for you. As on this day, I did not succeed. And what I'm telling you is that when the spirit behind what you're saying in that slang is all angry because you want to say freaking crap, whatever they are, and the world hears you, the world doesn't see anything different from you and them, because the motive behind the slang that you're saying is the same. Stop it. Stop it. And for some of you, it may become a resting place for not cursing. And for you, I applaud that you are there. I applaud that you're not saying the F word and you've replaced it with freaking. I appreciate that. But God's calling you to come from freaking to go to, oh, thank God, when you drop a hammer on your finger. He's not calling you to use a slang. My father worked in a factory. And the Baptist pastor that worked next to him had been preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching the gospel to him. My mom had invoked all of her friends to begin praying and fasting for Peter Dosik to get saved. And I was a part of this. And so we would pray. And so I would see my dad get angry on a regular basis. And I'd say, Daddy, it's okay. We're praying for you. Literally. When Dad gave his life to Christ, he did it in the bedroom by a closet and said, pretty much, I'm too bad for you to fix me. But I'm going to do whatever it is that I'm supposed to do. I'm going to give my life to Christ, but I'm going to get up from this floor and I'm going to walk out of this room and I'm going to tell everyone that you saved me. And if you don't fix this, it's on you. Literally, that's what he said. He's at the factory. He's working in Ross Aluminum, and something happens. I don't know if it was a press. I don't know what happened. I can't remember. I can make up a good story, but stop lying. You hear me? I'm not making up a story to make it good for you guys. I'm telling you the truth. And all of a sudden, he got hurt, and out of his mouth says, thank you, Jesus. And that Baptist pastor says, holy cow, Peter Dosik is a born-again Christian. I heard it here right now. I saw the man tested, and he has survived. When you live a certain way, when you come out from among the world, and you begin to set a standard, and you begin to act differently in the midst of it, even in your slang, even in your little lying jots that you tell, when people begin to see that you live above the rest, that you are consecrated, that you are sinless, that you are set apart for God's holy use, something begins to change in the people around you. Something begins to change. And it's a standard that you don't even realize. All of a sudden, you become the one they come to at work for prayer. You're the one that they come to when everything's going wrong in their home or someone gets a bad report. They're like, I don't know what to do, Jim. What should I do? And you're thinking in your mind, why are you coming to me? Because you're the closest picture of Jesus they have. That's why they're coming to you. But is it that we've become to blend in so much that they don't even come to us? They don't think we'll care about their situation because we're too busy with regular life. Let's keep going. It says, let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. You realize that the Holy Spirit can be grieved by your action. What if I told you that when you do things out of anger and your heart is in the wrong place, that the Holy Spirit just steps back from your life and says, now I'm going to get you to fix that. watering hoses. We watered things yesterday in our lawn. Sorry, everything's about my life yesterday. It was torture. As we pulled the hose out to put it onto the power washer, I had to walk all the way back over there because there was no power, so I must have not turned on the nozzle all the way. So I turned it on all the way. Then I go back to the hose. I go to spray it. Beep. I'm like, geez. Randy, there's something wrong with this stupid hose. He said, you got a kink in it? And sure enough, right around the tire, I had yanked it too hard trying to get it as far as I could so I didn't have to unroll two more wraps of it, because that means you got to put back the two more wraps. Lazy people always have to work the hardest. Obviously, I'm not meant for lawn care, people. Obviously, I'm people care. This is my job. Tell me you got a kink and I'm willing to help. Have me unroll a hose. I don't want to help. So I go back over and I unkink the hose, and now it's just this free flow. This is the Holy Spirit in our life. When you have this foul language, when you have lying, when you have this abusive place, this anger in your heart that drives you to abuse people with your mouth, puts a kink in your hose. It's not that the Holy Spirit isn't there. He's just, ooh. It works for a little bit and then it runs out. You got to wait for it to build up pressure. It goes, again. You got to go back and get the kink out. You got to go back and repent for what it is that was standing between you and him. And when you do, the Holy Spirit's like, then I got all I need. I got a jet stream that goes 15 foot. I'm like, wow, it works. Randy's like, amazing when you turn it on. I mean, like, just, you know, he works out there every day, so he's getting a total kick out of this. Let's go a step further. It says, get all rid of bitterness, rage and anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. I'm going to go a step further. How many of you watch the news? Come on, don't even be shy with me. How many watch the news? Okay, praise the Lord. Well, a lot of you might not be angry then. You ever yelled at the television? Oh, now I'm talking. Now I'm talking because you're angry. You're angry that they don't get it the way you get it. And sometimes when you're angry, you call out things you shouldn't be calling out. Oh my gosh, that idiot. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sure. That's a harsh word. That's abusive behavior. Would you look at your spouse and call them an idiot because they don't see things your eye to eye? Not in my house, you wouldn't. I'll tell you that straight up. Randy would sit me down, bring me in for marriage counseling, and say, you are not calling me an idiot. No, is that not the truth? Yet we'll do it to people and we think, oh no, they didn't hear that. Forget the fact they didn't. Eek. The Holy Spirit did. And he just went like this. Ooh, we got to work that out. We got to work that out because you're not allowed to do that. How about some of you parents? I'm going right down your lane and I'll just already tell you, I'm ratting myself out. I have already repented for this years ago and my kids are not in sports anymore, so I don't have to worry about it. And I don't care if your kids win or lose. I can just go and clap all day. Yay, good job. I don't care. I got nothing invested. But parents get abusive on the sidelines. Oh my gosh, that's the stupidest call I've ever seen, ref. Where are you from? Just to give you a paycheck today? I've seen it and heard it all. In fact, there were certain people at our games I would not sit next to because it would bring me into the abusive language that would be called out. You are to act like Christ in those stands, even when the game is not going your way. Even when you think that the referee's been hired to call against your kids. Even though the team that they're playing is 5 foot taller than yours, yet they're all freshmen. Yeah, right. What are you feeding those kids? Because I'd like to know. Our kids are just getting trampled out there by these 10-foot, 12 giants. And the ref's going, because like the 3-foot-4 guy actually hurt him. I'm like, come on, what did he do? Bust him in the belt? I mean, come on. So I really would get infuriated by this, but I was angry because it was injustice. But the Bible says be angry and sin not. So I could have been angry. I could have been frustrated. And I could have sit in my chair and shut my mouth rather than being abusive in my language. Now you think these are just little things, but look on a bigger, broader scale. What would happen seriously in our marriages? Do you know I heard a man once call his wife a B-I-T-C-H? And he thought he was a Christian. Now listen to me, that wasn't, whew, that had nothing coming out. Amen. Nothing. God's not gonna yoke to something like that, who degrades and abuses his wife, who God gave him as a gift to be his helper, to be his better half. That God, and you abuse it? Amen. I'm gonna be honest with you, some of you ladies talk down towards your husbands. You know what? You are not allowed to do that. You are not allowed to treat them as insignificant, as non-valuable, as less than you are. And in the world that we live in today of feminism, and as much as I am thrilled to death that women can wear pants like men and we don't have to saddle up on the side of a horse in a dress, that's amazing and I love that and I can't wait to meet the woman that chose to do that. However, women's liberation is beautiful, that you get paid the same, that you get treated the same way in this life, that you get to work hard for the same position, and that you get a vote, and that you don't have to ride in the back of the bus, that the women in the church are not over here, and the men are over here, and the only ones that are hearing the truth is the men because they're the authority of the home. Let me tell you something. Christ is the head of the church, and if Christ is the head of the church, that doesn't mean that at home that you don't have to submit to your husband. Your husband is the head of your home. And we should be honoring that head, not degrading, not belittling, not disrespecting, and not dishonoring. Nine times out of ten, a strong woman in a home will belittle a husband. There is nothing wrong with being a strong woman. But there is something wrong when you become strong and you see yourself as the only one that's right and the only lord of that home. You are not the lord of that home. You are to submit yourself to one another and you are to lead with strength in your home. And at the bottom line of the day, if I do something that is not right, my husband should be the one to call me out. My husband should be, you know, when we were in that group of people today and you said that to me, that hurt me. And I shouldn't go, well, you know what? If you'd put the pants on in this family, maybe I'd listen. That is not right. That is disrespectful. And that is not God's honor for our homes. And if we would do what that scripture said at the very end, be kind, be tenderhearted, loving and forgiving to one another. That's where it's at, church. We've got to put a guard. Psalm says that you and I would put a guard up on our lips and a gate up on our mouths. And I'm telling you that James says there's no man, there's no woman that can tame the tongue inside of this mouth, that it can cut you quick like lightning. And it can love you one minute and kill you the next. But God says that the Holy Spirit will help you. Amen. Ask him to help you to yield this little member that he's given you. He goes on further. I'm going to have to give you homework because I'm running out of time. But obviously, I must be hitting the ones that we're supposed to. Let me just say that when you talk bad about people, do not think that the Holy Spirit is present in that room and listening. When you sit at your tables, when you have dinner, when you have lunch, when you hang out with your family, and you think that God sits in the midst of gossip, slander, hearing faults of one another, he says to flee from that behavior. And I'll tell you that it would be a false doctrine to believe that you get to sit in your homes and talk about evil things that happen to good, godly people and think that you're going to go to heaven. I was on an airplane once, and I'll finish with this story. I was on an airplane once, and every time I traveled, I hate traveling. It's not something I do well. It's like I feel trapped. I can't explain it. I feel trapped on that plane, and I can't wait to get off. That's all I can say. So I endure the travel. So I just bought a magazine, and it was like People or Us Weekly or anything that would tell me what is the newest on, at this time, Britney Spears and her drugs. That would tell me whether she has custody of her children or whether she didn't. Whether J-Lo is still with Ben Affleck. I don't know. It was just gossip about Hollywood. That's all it was. But it was something mundane that just got my mind off of everything on a plane. And because I didn't do it often, that's why I got involved with it mentally. You know, I could just go and get lost in the story. And before I knew it, I was done with the magazine and we were there. I opened up the page. We had just began to take off. It was amazing. And I heard the Lord say, "Do you want people reading lies about you?" I'm like, well, no. No, why would you ask me that, Lord? Kept reading my book. Didn't think a thing about it. I'm looking at the newest fashion, seeing the trends of what was at the American Globes, you know, getting all adversed in it. He asked me again, "Do you want people lying about you?" And I'm like, I got it this time. Like, it took a couple times. Like, I didn't understand. There's nothing wrong with me reading this magazine. But look at what the Bible says. I'm going down into Ephesians, the 5th chapter. It says, "Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead," that instead word, "let there be thankfulness to God." Keep on going down to 6. It says, "Do not be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. For the anger of God will fall upon them who disobey him. Do not participate in these things as people do. For once you were full of darkness." Keep going, right down here. Okay, verse 12. "It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret." Why is it that we take value in talking about the things of the world and act like it surprises us? They're worldly. As far as the mind can go, as far away from man's conscience as they can get, is how evil they will become. There's a reason God doesn't want you talking about it. It's entertaining to you. It's drawing you in. It's like you in the time of Ezra, yoking yourself to a culture of women that are doing detestable things. When you get absolved into a book, when you get absolved into a series that is doing nothing but telling of the things that you as a Christian should not be partaking of, shame on you. Did you hear that? Shame on you. When I was a kid, you used to hack the TV box to get into HBO so that you could see the evil, detestable behaviors. Now Netflix is the new Playboy and HBO series. Yet you are drawn in every single day by something that says this is what the world says is okay. God says to not be sexually immoral. Why would he want you to watch it? If God says that he doesn't even want you to hear or talk about evil things, then why does he want you to watch it? I'm going to sing you my parents' song. "Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down on us. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear." Right? "Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. For the Father up above, he's looking down on us. Oh, be careful, little children of God, what you do. I love you, church. But I'm telling you, God is calling us to a different level of sanctification. He's calling us to come out from among the world. Why? So you can be separate for his use. He can't pour himself into something that's dirty. He can't pour himself in after you've said, oh, I'm serving you, Lord. There's a repentance and a turning away, an emptying of oneself that must happen to let the Spirit lead. Stand to your feet if you would this morning. Now, I have homework. And for those of you I was not able to go into sexual immorality, I am going to take my sheet on sexual immorality. It's every impurity in sexual immorality. And I'm going to lay it on these steps. And if you have a question about what sexual immorality is, if you can read my writing, you can have the answer. And every one of those, from adultery to bringing things into your bedroom you should not, pornography, bestiality, homosexuality, it's all right on there, and there are scriptures that prove it. It will teach you what sexual immorality is. But I'm here to remind you that if the Spirit of the living God lives inside of you, then any form of sexual immorality that is done to your body is also done to Christ. That's what the Bible says. That's not what Pastor Nicole says. It's a whole nother scripture, and you'll find it in there. God would never unite himself to a prostitute. He would never do it. Why? Because he is holy. Neither should we proselyte ourselves into things that are foreign and idol worship. We are called to be set apart. 2 Peter, the first chapter, the third verse, down through about 8 is your homework that I want you to read. 2 Peter 1, 3 through about 6 or 9. If you would just lift up your hands this morning. Last week we prayed and we asked the Holy Spirit to remind us or to show us anything in us that was impure. Anything that caused us to blend into our culture. Father, we're asking you today, Father, as you have led me to teach, Father, a little longer on what we've done. Father, I'm asking the Holy Spirit right now, God, even as we speak, Father, that you're dropping things into the hearts of men and women. Father, that I've been as completely transparent as I can be. And Father, I've spoke your truth. Father, not to harm people today, not to convict people, for I can't convict, but the Holy Spirit can. Convict us right now, oh God. Convict us in our heart, God, that we could be a holy people. God, that we could bear your name in our communities. God, that we would be right with you, that when you come back, we would be ready to roll. God, we want to inherit the kingdom of God. But we can't do it without the Holy Spirit's help. Search us, oh God, right now. Call us to repentance. Call us to a place where we're cutting the things off from this world and running to the prize of heaven. If you're here in this house today and you're like, whoo, I came on the wrong day. You didn't come on the wrong day. You came on the right day. You came on the right day. You came to join your heart today with people who really love God, and we want to do what he wants us to do. We don't want to live on the fence. We don't want to live in the gray. We want to live in the blood of Christ. And we're far from perfect people, but our hearts desire completion with him. We desire to be holy. We desire to be righteous. And we're not righteous because of what we do, but because of what Christ did for us. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory. But God said if you've sinned and you've fallen short, that if you'll just confess your sin and just ask him to be Lord of your life, he'll do that. So if you're here today and your heart says, I want to know Jesus and I want to live my life. Pastor Nicole, I might not be perfect from here on out, but I'm going to do my best to give him my life. I'm going to ask that you boldly come down front today. I'm going to ask that you say, I'm willing to stand up for what I believe in. And I believe in Jesus and the cross. If that's you, just come down right now. If there's someone next to you that maybe you don't know, I just want you to reach over and ask them, do you know Jesus? And if you don't, I'll walk with you. Is there anyone in the house today that would say, I want Jesus for the first time today? I want to come home. I'm done doing it. Okay, there's one. Good, good. Come on, is there another? Ran. Is there another one? Is there another one that would say, I want Jesus today? Anyone? Someone else has already broke the ice open. It's easy now. Anybody? Randy, if you would, lead this young man in the prayer. I'm going to call forth up here at the altar while Randy's praying with that young man to give his life to Christ. I'm going to call for an open altar right now this morning. And I know you're going to think, oh, Passion Cold, we have to be so dramatic. Yeah, sometimes we do. Sometimes we do, because here's why. We've began to believe that the way we live our life is okay. We've began to believe that it's okay to be, a little gray. It's not all the way. I'm not in the big sins. But God says, I'm calling you to have no sin. Depend on me and my word, and I'll work that slang out of you. Depend on me, and I'll teach you to love when everyone else around you is hating. Trust in me, and I'll help you with that addiction to the pornography that you're involved in. By the way, if you're addicted to pornography, your church has a group for this. If you're a guy, come to Pastor Randy. If you're a girl, come to me, and we'll get you hooked up immediately to get help. We're not here to shame you. We're here to love you and embrace you and to help you. By the way, ladies, you should not be ashamed. Pornography in women is on the rise more than it's ever been before. The devil's after you, just like he's after your husbands. Don't believe in a lie. Don't believe in a lie. None of that's real. This is real. You're real. Quit trying to live a life that's not yours to live. Just be you. God says you're enough. And if your husband says you're not, then now we need our marriage group. No, I'm being honest with you. I'm calling the church to repentance today. And I'm calling us to empty ourselves before God and before each other and to bring ourselves into a place of accountability. And I don't care. I'm going to be real with you. I don't care what you think of your pastor being the first one to set her knee on this stage. Because I want to make sure that there's nothing in me that is dirty and that God can use every part of me for his glory. So I'm calling you, and I'm going to lead by example first. After you've done your confessing to the Lord and you've asked him to forgive you and you got the kink out of your hose and the Spirit is flowing with intensity and is not, then you are free to go today. Amen. And we'll see you on Wednesday. And I know this, we're not teaching on sin. So you're going to be all right if you come on Wednesday. But we have a surprise for you on Wednesday. We had an intervention call from Mr. Dunphy. How many of you know Ben Dunphy? He said, pastors, I'm traveling through. You don't have to pay for my hotel. You don't have to feed me. All you need to do is let me minister to the people. Just let me minister to your people. He works in the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm unable to be here on Wednesday. And we didn't have the schedule quite planned the way we are. So we just put him in there. God knew he was coming and we didn't. So I'm just going to say that. Come on out for a good Wednesday night with Mark Dunphy. But until then, I can't tell you he's not preaching on sin. That's a good point. He might. And if he does, you'll already be cleaned up if you get it done and out of the way today. We love you, church. Let us pray. Amen.
Father, we thank you, Jesus.